kinds of turbulence. This thing was jumping around. And God bless you. I look forward to sharing with you the Joshua formula for trusting God. We've been listening to some great music in light of trusting God. And that's the very foundational thing I believe God wants us to do, is to trust Him. He's our loving Heavenly Father, and He wants us to believe on Him, to have fellowship with Him, to be blessed with all His promises. And really, it just gets down to trusting that He is your Heavenly Father. And we believe Him, and we walk with Him, and trust Him. When we trust God, we see Him work. Trusting God is believing Him. Whenever we read about men and women in the Bible trusting God, we see the power of God exhibited. We see those signs, wonders, and miracles. We see the healing, the walking on the water, feeding thousands with just a few baskets of food. So trusting God is perhaps the pinnacle of believing. When we get to the point that we literally say, "Thus saith the Lord," then we see the Word of God come to pass. Now, what is trusting God? Let me share a few stories with you that illustrate trusting God. The first one is about a village that was suffering because of a drought in their area. The leaders of the village called for prayer the next day. They were desperate. Their crops were soon going to wither away unless they would have rain. Well, that next day, the whole village turned out to pray for rain. They all did. But one boy came with the umbrella. Now, that's trusting God to work. He believed that his prayer would be answered, so he was prepared for the rain. Another story I would like to share with you in regard to trusting God is about a flight on an airplane. Everybody was on this plane, were suffering because it was a bumpy ride. Perhaps you've been on an airplane when there's turbulence and you're dropping fast and bumping around. Well, this flight was pretty bad. People were white-knuckling it. They were not feeling so well. So it was a difficult time, to say the least. Stuff, and everybody was white-knuckling it, right? Holding on, white-knuckling it. Some people were, you know, losing their lunch. It was a horrible trip. And this man looked over, and he noticed everybody was suffering. But this one little girl, she was just sitting there reading whatever book she had, and she was just as comfortable as could be. And he was fascinated that this little girl, on her own, was so comfortable with the situation while everybody else was freaking out. Well, the plane landed safely, and everybody got off the plane, and he said, "I got to talk to this girl." And he went over, talked to the little girl, and he said, "Honey, I noticed you didn't get uptight at all about all the bumps and the plane being so rough and everything else like that. Why were you so confident and comfortable?" She looked up at him and said, "The pilot is my father, and he is the best pilot there is." So she trusted in her father, didn't she? So why would she do that, though? Whatever in her life got her to the point to do that, I mean, there must have been great love relationship during her life, upbringing and everything, that she knew her dad was going to take care of her. And that's what we build. We build an understanding of our Heavenly Father. The more we know Him and understand Him, we can trust in Him, can't we? Really can. So let's go to the Bible and look at a wonderful example of trusting God. 2 Kings. This is a great, great record in trusting God. So 2 Kings chapter 18. And let's start in verse 17, all right? So 2 Kings 17. And the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsheris and Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. Now, this wasn't a friendly mission. This was to beat up Jerusalem, take them over. And when it says there was a great host, you're going to see later on it was over 100,000 people, army, coming to take over Jerusalem. They went up and came to Jerusalem, and when they were come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the fuller's field. And when they had called to the king, there came out to them Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah, the son of Ashvath, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, you know, this is the bad guy now talking, speak you now to Hezekiah, Hezekiah being the king of Israel. Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherewith thou trusteth? Thou sayest, but they are but vain words, I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? You know, he's challenging Hezekiah on who are you going to believe in to help you out on this? Have you looked over the wall and seen hundreds of thousands of my soldiers? Who are you going to trust now? Who are you going to have confidence in? Verse 21, now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, of which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust in him. You know, if Hezekiah went and tried to get some, his NATO, other countries that stand with him, they're not going to happen. It's not going to work. But if you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away and has said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before the altar, this altar in Jerusalem? Man, he's really challenging Hezekiah, isn't he? Big time. Now, therefore, I pray thee, give pledges to my Lord, the king of Assyria, that I will deliver thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. Come on, I'll give you 2,000 horses in this deal. How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Man, he was really challenging Hezekiah. Am I now come up without the Lord against the place to destroy it? Man, he's saying, hey, the Lord is on my side. The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Now, what Lord is he talking about? He's kind of saying, you got a Lord and you trust in him. I got a Lord, I trust in him. He's not talking about the true God, is he? No way. But yet he's mimicking that to them, right? I mean, that's quite a challenge. Somebody come up to you and say, hey, you believe in God? Well, so do I. What are you going to do about it? Because I'm going to punch you one. Pretty good challenge. Then said Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Joah, and Rabshakeh, unto Rabshakeh, speak, I pray thee, to thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and talk not with us in the Jews' language in the ears of the people that are on the wall. You know, these leaders, Hezekiah's leaders, he didn't want them talking in the language which everybody can listen to on the wall, because he's going to freak them out. But Rabshakeh said unto them, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak those words, these words? Hath he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you? Wow, he's getting nasty, isn't he? Woo! He's not mixing words. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language, and spake, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Everybody on the walls hearing this. Man, so what about the fear level? You know, everybody's knees are knocking and everything else. Wow. What else did he say? This Rabshakeh, he's pretty sharp here. Verse 30, neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. See, this guy knew that these guys had a God that did something. But he's challenging them. Are you going to go to that Lord, your Lord again? Is he going to deliver you? Have you looked out here? Hundreds of thousands of the best army guys? Don't trust. Don't let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and then eat ye every man of his own vine, and every one his fig tree, and drink ye every one the waters of his cistern. Boy, I mean, he's trying to make it, you know, hey, you guys can still do, have some things here, you'll be all right, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, and a land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil, olive, and honey, that you may live and not die. And hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. What a challenge, huh? He's not only saying, we're going to smash you, but hey, really, come, you know, we'll take care of you. We're not going to hurt you. We'll bring you to another land just like the one here. You're going to have a great time. No problems. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? The king of Assyria was taking over all these countries. And they all have their gods, right? But were they seeing what was happening? Syria was whooping up on them. So he's saying, my God is the strongest God because we're taking over all these other countries, nations. Where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharim, Hena, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? Wow, what a challenge. Verse 36, but the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. Good advice. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Ashpheth, the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. You know, it's a figure of speech. Their clothes were rent. They were just distressed. They were just, wow. I understand it. I would rent my clothes. I would sell my clothes. Man, oh man, I would be very distressed and upset. Well, let's see what happens. Interesting story here. And it came to pass, verse 1, chapter 19, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes. He was distressed too, and I don't blame him under the circumstances, and covered himself with sackcloth. And where did he go? He went into the house of the Lord. Best place to go. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. Okay, Isaiah, the man of God at this point. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. Wow. What a predicament. Now, you ladies that have children maybe could understand this a little bit more, but it couldn't come to full term. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So they're going to pray to God. So the servants of the king Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord. Now, here a man of God, Isaiah, is going to give what God told him to tell the king Hezekiah. And this is the word of the Lord. What you're reading is the word of the Lord too, right? God's word. That's as much as the word of God as the word of God here that's coming through Isaiah to King Hezekiah. So, where are we? Verse 6, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Don't listen. Don't be what? Afraid of those words. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Okay, that's the word of the Lord. Now, what are they going to believe? With their eyes, they see this huge army, hundreds of thousands of people. Now, but on the other hand, they have the word of the Lord. Good challenge. All right, so Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he heard that of, let's see, verse 20, we can read through this. And when he said to Tirhakai, king of Ethiopia, behold, he has come out to fight against thee. He sent messengers again unto Hezekiah, saying, thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the land of the king of Assyria. Man, he is just boldly saying, don't listen to God. Behold, verse 11, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all these lands by destroying them utterly. And shall thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, as Goshen and Haran and Rephath and the children of Eden, which were in Telazar? Where is the king of Hamath, and the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Zepharim, and Hena and Iva? And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. You know, he's reminding God what God has done, okay? I think he's kind of talking his own self up. Yes, he's building him own, he's remembering who his God is. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thy eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, our Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. All right. And then verse 21 and following is a response from Isaiah. We're not going to read all of this, but let's catch it up in verse 32, okay? Verse 32. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. Wow. Nice deal. So they had are they going to believe this? Are they going to believe these words versus what they see out with his thousands and hundreds of thousands of army guys? Wow. Verse 34, I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. Now, I think that's 185,000. 185,000. Woo! And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpse. Woo! So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. He went the same way he came. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sarezer, his son, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. So did the words of God come to pass? They did. They believed God, and what a great deliverance. Isn't that a fascinating story? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. If God said it, it can come to pass. We can trust in our Father. That's why get to know your Father and appreciate Him. Have a relationship with Him. Jeannie doing those journals, what a great way to build that intimate relationship with God. Praying, talking to your Father. Man, oh man, read these stories. See what your Father has done. My dad whooped 185,000 guys one morning. That's our Father. We got to believe that. We've got to trust in Him. The more we learn about Him and see His love and care for us. And there's Numbers 23:19, a great verse. I think we'll have it up there on the screen. God is what? Not a man that you can trust in. He is not a man. Neither would he lie, neither the son of man, that he should repent. You know, change his mind, say one thing and then repent and do something else. Hath he said that he shall not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? Our Father is so fantastic, isn't he? Let's take a look at Proverbs. If there's one section of Scripture that when people talk about trusting God, they probably think about Proverbs chapter 3, yes. So let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 3. And we'll have that on the screen here. The first two verses. My son, forget not my law, 3:1 in Proverbs, but let thine heart keep. Or that word keep means to watch as a guard, you know, a security guard watching over the stuff. That's what that word keep means. But let thine heart keep, guard my commandments, his words. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. These are great promises in God's word. Verse 3, let not mercy and trust forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. You know, the religious leaders at that time had these phylacteries things where they would have verses on their foreheads and necklaces and things like that where the word was with them all the time. Verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding, insight. That word understanding is insight in the sight of God and man. Verse 5, there it is, trust in the Lord. And how much do you trust in the Lord? All your heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, I know we all have certain abilities and skills, but we don't trust in those, do we? Now, we use them for good, but we trust in God. We don't bank on our abilities. We bank on God's ability. That's a good challenge for us, isn't it? I get it, man. I've been there, and I still am there, trusting in myself rather than God. But I'm hoping a little more and more I'm trusting in God's word a little bit more than I am myself. But look at the results of doing that. Trust in the Lord with all my heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Verse 6. And he shall direct thy steps, your path. That's why we have that relationship with God. We acknowledge him in everything that we do. Ladies, when you put your makeup on, acknowledge him and he'll get it just perfect. You'll look like Cleopatra every time. I don't know why I said that, but but in all your ways, whatever you're doing, bring your Father in on it. Let him in on everything. Be not wise, verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear, or the word fear is reverence the Lord. Reverence the Lord and depart from evil. Avoid, the word depart is avoid that evil. Verse 8, but it shall be health or healing to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord, verse 9, with all thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. That's a great key there in trusting God, where you would give of your first fruits, you abundantly share. Because you trust God. God, it's not yours anyway, right? You're trusting him in your work and stuff. He's blessing you. You get paid. You give the first fruits to the Father. Why not? Because he's the one we trust in. It's an act of trust. Phenomenal. Great. There's another section of scripture I'd like to go to. And we'll be closing in this section. And what I want to share with you now is what I call the Joshua formula for trusting God. And we're going to go to Joshua, the book of Joshua, okay? Joshua. Joshua took over when Moses died. And if you know the Old Testament and what happened, you know, with Moses putting up with the children of Israel for, 30 years, 40 years in the wilderness, and he can't go into the promised land. Moses dies. Now Joshua has to take over these crazy children of Israel, millions of them, whatever, how many there were. And he took on that responsibility. So, chapter 1 here, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. You know, he's making a point to Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. They are finally now ready to cross the Jordan, this river Jordan, back to their promised land. But there's one problem. Is it an empty land? No, it's full of all these people, all these different nations that don't want to leave. They don't want to give up their land and their farms and their homes and everything. But who does it belong to, this land? Yeah, God's people. That was his property. So, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites, under the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. There's the word of God. Is he going to trust in the word? That's all he has. All he has to trust in is what God just told him. Now, he can reflect on Moses, right? All the great miracles that he did with Moses, the children of Israel, you know, parting the seas, feeding them out in the middle of the desert. There's no food out there. Every day, three times a day, manna. And a few times had some quail, I guess, too. But he provided for him, those folks, for some many, many, many years. So he can reflect on that. So shall no man able be stand before thee all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Be strong and of a good courage. And well, God is really building up this guy, right? Joshua. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. God's really building him up, and he's reminding him, be strong, be courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. The word of God for them was this, the Old Testament, the commandments, right? That's what they had to meditate day and night, build the word into their mind so they would continue to believe God. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9, and this is a verse I'd like to share with you, what I call the Joshua formula for trusting God, all right? The Joshua formula for trusting God, and it's all in this verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, number one, five steps here in this formula. The first one is know the word of God about the situation. Have not I commanded thee? God had spoken to him. God had encouraged him. This is my word. This is what you're to do. Cross the Jordan, and wherever your footsteps, that's yours. Take it. So know what God says about the situation. When you need to trust God for a situation or thing, know what the word says about it. Know the promises of God. Now, he's a servant. Who are you? Son of God. You know, people say, well, that's Joshua, man. That Joshua, he is tough. God loved that guy. He loved Moses. That's why they did all this stuff. Yes, but they did all that stuff because they believed the word of their God. And they were servants. You are children of God. You're born again of God's incorruptible seed. So he's your father. You can have that great trust in your dad. He's flying the airplane, right? He's the one. You can be comfortable knowing that He's going to be there for you. So know what God says. Know the word and what it says about the situation. Number two, be strong and of a good courage. This is the third time he's telling him. God's telling Joshua to be that. Be strong and of a good courage. So number two for us in the Joshua formula is to stand on the promises of God. Be of good courage. Trust God for it. Hang in there, all right? Because God is going to work. He has to. That's his promise. So you know his word and you stand trusting him. And then what else? Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Have no fear. Don't. If fear or trepidation comes in, what do you do with it? Cast it out. Get rid of it. And don't think, oh, now I have fear. Oh, now my believing's been cut off. No. No. You can have fear and get rid of it and move on with God and see the great results, the delivering results. It's okay. I mean, look how much God encouraged Joshua. Joshua must have been a little afraid a little bit, you know? But God said, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Over and over again. God will work with you like that. He'll work with us. We're his kids. He won't give up on us if we, I'm afraid, Daddy. No, you know, he's going to be there even more to help you. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to see success. So we have no fear. And number four, neither be thou dismayed. Now, what does the word dismayed mean? I looked it up on the dictionary. Dismayed means a loss of power to carry on. You're going for the goal. Okay, let's say you got the football, and you're running down the field, and these guys are going to try to tackle you, and there's the goal, and oh, I just don't have enough power to make it to the goal. You're dismayed, all right? Your mind got turned off, and the power to make it all the way to the end shuts down. So don't be dismayed. Keep going. Persevere. Perseverance is another great word for this, right? It works with being dismayed. If you're feeling, oh no, I don't know if I can make it, then get encouraged. It build up. So you have that power to carry on. And then finally, the last part of this verse says, God is with you whithersoever thou goest. Ladies and gentlemen, never forget that God is always with you. You know, I know sometimes we are in situations that we just are, it's tough. It is really tough, and we're praying, we're doing our best to believe God. Don't give up. God is there always. Even to the ninth minute, the very end, where things don't look so good. Do you think things look good for Hezekiah? Hundreds of thousands of guys out there ready to take over. Next day, they're dead, 185,000 dead. So don't give up. God is with you everywhere, everywhere. So that's the Joshua formula for you, okay? You know? So remember, we are children of God. We are his kids. And what a privilege we have to walk with him and listen to him and then trust in him in all our ways, okay? So we're going to trust God bigger and better this week than we ever have before? Good, good. I am too. I learned something here myself. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for how wonderful and loving you are. You sure have done some great things as we read in your word for your people. And many times they were maybe not so strong, but you were there always, Father. And when we stick with you, you are always there. So, Father, thank you for we can continue to grow in our understanding of your love and care for us and that you do great and mighty things for your children. I pray for each and every person here and everybody that hears this sharing, that they can continue to rise up in their relationship with you and trusting you in all things so that they can see the great love and care you have for us. So we love you, Father, and we're grateful to be in your family. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. That's fellowship. We got refreshments, though. So have a great rest of your day, huh? All right.